Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton and our producer, Katie Galley, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio. And Stone, this will be a fun one.
Hey, this is going to be a lot of fun. First up on Atlanta Business Radio this morning, please join me in welcoming to the broadcast professional sales coach with Southwestern Consulting, Miss Elise Archer. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me, guys.
Well, Elise, can you talk a little bit about being a professional sales coach? How does that work?
I certainly can. Yeah, I think most people, when I say that, think that I'm unemployed.
Is that what that means? No. Coach, consultant, unemployed. They all mean the same thing,
right? That translates to unemployed. But no, we actually have clients. So the company that I work with is actually the oldest sales training company in the United States. They've been around for 160 years.
Wow.
Since before the light bulbs. Kind of crazy.
They were selling light bulbs, probably,
Yeah, somebody needed one. But so basically what it means is my colleagues and I, we partner with business owners, sales professionals to help them achieve their goals in life. So That's what I'm really passionate about, is just helping people break belief barriers about what's possible for them. And for some people, it's they want to make more money. For some people, it's they want to make more money and have more time back in their day. For some, it's they want to get really confident in closing and kind of overcome that fear, kind of that anxiety that a lot of people feel around selling and closing. And so we help with all of that.
So now, do you find that anybody can be taught to sell, or is this something like I'm a born salesman or I just don't sell?
Yeah, I love that question, because I think so many people think, well, you have to be born that way. And they kind of envision a natural born salesperson as kind of the cheesy, slick used car salesman type of vibe, right? But actually, I find that anybody, if they have the right mindset, can be an amazing sales professional selling whatever they need to sell. And I think actually we are all in sales. At the end of the day, right? Whether you're leading a business and you have to sell your ideas to your employees, whether you are a true quote unquote sales professional, maybe you're in HR and you have to sell your ideas to the rest of the team. But I think we're big believers in something called servant selling, which basically means that sales has nothing to do with you. It simply has to do with helping other people get what they want. And I think if we can have that mindset and then learn the right techniques, kind of like riding a bike. The first time you did it, you probably sucked at it. And the second time, you probably weren't that great either. But the more that you try and learn the right techniques, the more it just becomes second nature. So we're really big believers in helping people have that right mindset, the servant selling mindset, and then applying the right tools to use to help serve more people.
And when you have that mindset of serving and helping, you're not really trying to sell. You're just trying to see if it's a right fit at that point, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So we have a quote that it's hard to be nervous when your heart is on service. And so
Is that right? close enough.
It's better than mine. On the drive in this morning, I heard, if you mind your own biscuits, life will be gravy. But I think I like yours better.
Well, I'm going to steal that and try to find a way to apply that to sales.
So now, like you mentioned, more and more people are having to sell in their world. Like, we run into a lot of attorneys and CPA people who maybe historically their job was just to be lawyers and CPA people and do accounting. But now they are charged with kind of having a book of business as well. So they're, even if it's an existing client and they have to kind of penetrate that organization and get work around it, everybody is wearing a sales hat nowadays. Don't you find that?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think a lot of people resist it. And they're like, no, I'm just going to talk to the people I already know.
Right. I'm good at this. I'm going to just do this.
Yeah. And having like that fixed mindset, if you're familiar with Carol Dweck, the fixed versus growth mindset, people who have a growth mindset and are open to the idea that, hey, even if historically this has not been something I felt like I was good at, I can learn anything if I apply myself to it. Like, those are the people who tend to excel and exceed in life. And I think sales is no different than that. We just have to be open to the idea that we could do it if we wanted to.
And when you are really serving people, don't you want to help more people?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, exactly. If you really believe you're doing kind of good work and important work, don't you want to do more and important work for more people?
Yes, exactly. And I think having that mindset is so key and so critical to being successful in sales, is just realizing it has nothing to do with you. And when you can just remove yourself from that outcome and say, hey, a yes is great, a no is fine. The only thing that doesn't serve anybody is a maybe. It's like my job in we consider closing just helping somebody get from point A, which is where they are right now, to point B, which is where they want to be faster. That is our only job in selling. And sometimes that's going to mean they should partner with you. Sometimes that's going to mean they should partner with your competitor. Sometimes that's going to mean they should do nothing. And that's okay, but it's just our job to help guide them safely to that right decision for them.
Now, how did you find Southwestern Consulting? How did that come about?
Yeah, so I think like all good stories, it starts with a story deep-seated in personal insecurity. So I grew up in a household of very accomplished academic professionals. So my mom and dad were both very academically accomplished. My sister, really smart too. And so I grew up feeling very insecure that I wasn't good enough, like a lot of us can probably relate to. And it wasn't until I discovered sales around the age of like 16, I think I found, it sounds super shady, but I found some Craigslist ad for selling vitamins. And so I wasn't killed in the process, which was good. But I started my first sales role and I found that I was actually, this was something where I was in a team of like 10 people doing this. And it was actually very easy for me to do it and do it very well. And so I found something that I was actually like really good at. Mm-hmm. And that started this kind of this passion and excitement for, wow, I found something where I can be the best. And so I went into, like, I went to college for journalism, but I went immediately out and went right back into sales. And I went into advertising sales at the time. And sure enough, in my sales career after college, I continued to be at the top of the ranks of the group and did really well. But I'll tell you, it was all about me and it was all about trying to prove myself to other people. So in my early 20s, I made a lot of money. I had like the nice house, the nice car, everything that I thought I needed for validation. Right. But I'll tell you, like on the inside, I was super empty and I was hurting and had a lot of just negative people in my life who at the time I was like, I don't know why these people are in my life, but really they were just a reflection of me and who I was at the time. And so about 6 years in to that point in my life, I had just kind of like one of those like rock bottom moments where you look up and you're like, what am I doing?
And you're like,
you know,
not even 30.
Not even 30. Yeah. Wow. I was an overachiever. I hit rock bottom early. But
full life right, there.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But it was funny because around that time I started listening to podcasts and I'd never really listened before, but I didn't like being alone with my thoughts. And so I would always try to fill the space with just something to distract me. And I came across this podcast by a guy named Rory Vaden. Mm-hmm. And in the podcast, he actually talked about this concept of servant selling. And it was like, huh. I'd never realized that sales maybe wasn't about me proving myself or feeling good about myself. Maybe it's just about helping other people. And I started just really like eating up everything he had to say and following him online and reading his books. And in the period of a year, I radically transformed my life. And not only by doing what he said, did I grow my income 48% and I got more time back in my day, but it was like who I was as a person. I finally came back to who I really was.
It was more congruent with how you wanted
exactly, to be. Exactly. Yeah. And so that was such an amazing experience for me that about a year and a half after that, I actually left my corporate job to join Rory and his team at Southwestern Consulting Group to try to help other sales professionals have some of those same life changes and light bulb moments. Right. So Rory's the co-founder of Southwestern Consulting and somebody who I get to work with now. And
Is he here in Atlanta as well?
He's in Nashville. So we're based out of Nashville. I just moved to Atlanta about 9 months ago. So kind of new to the area from North Carolina. Uh-huh. But we all work remotely. So.
And then, so you're part of Southwestern, the consultancies here, you're running the Atlanta portion of it? Is that how it works? Or you're an independent person?
Yeah. So we have a couple of coaches here in the Atlanta area, all of which are amazing. We're all independent. So we can kind of work wherever we want, which is cool. We have coaches in Estonia. We have coaches in South America, Lithuania, all over the place. It's neat. UK. Mm-hmm.
So do you have a specialty of an industry you work with? Like, are you the CPA person or you're the manufacturing person?
Yeah. So I work with a really broad range of sales professionals, but I've kind of stumbled into the financial wholesale world, which is very random.
It's very specific.
Very specific. I knew nothing about it. They called me and said, can you help? And I was like, I don't know what you do, but I can figure it out. But so I've ended up doing a lot of work with either wholesalers or with financial advisors. And I find with a lot of them, like they really want to serve their clients and they're typically very good at what they do from a money management side, but they're really oftentimes scared to market themselves or they don't know how to talk about what they're doing. And it's kind of like the sales, like we talked about before, anybody can learn to do this.
Right.
But a lot of those just sales strategies and tips and techniques, they're not comfortable with. And so it's about helping them serve more people and get in front of more potential clients.
I want to hear more about this whole fear thing, but what is it you think that is causing them to be fearful? Are they worried maybe too much about what other people think, or what's at the core of this?
Yeah. Well, I think it's something that holds all of us back if we let it, right? I mean, it's self-preservation. It's built in. I think fear could be a healthy mechanism to alert you if you're about to be run over by a car or a bus.
Like, yeah, it can be very helpful.
Good. That gets us moving. But unfortunately, our brain has a hard time differentiating between that type of fear versus the fear of picking up the phone and am I going to be rejected? Right. And like, even in this moment, like when we do something that's outside of our comfort zone, like if I think about myself in this moment, I'm going to feel fear and I'm going to feel nerves because I'm thinking about myself. It's all self-preservation. But if we can get out of that headspace and think instead about somebody else, like solving somebody else's problems or what somebody else is struggling with, then try it. You'll realize that you actually can't physically feel fear and be thinking about helping somebody else. It's really interesting. So I don't think it's that fear ever goes away. I think it's built into who we are, but I think it's how do you learn to manage it? And can you use it for something good, right? To motivate you, but and to keep you safe, but also how do you let it not control you? And that's what a lot of our clients need help with. And I'm really passionate about helping people overcome that.
Now, when you're working with a new client and they are maybe in a state of in their own head and they feel a lot of fear and maybe their motivation's pure, but maybe their technique is not as polished as it would be if, after talking with you for a while. How do you move them through this process? Like, how do you help them kind of align their objectives really with kind of how to say the words?
Yeah. Well, I think the first thing is a lot of people have never really thought about what they want. And so people will find themselves in a sales role or sales leadership role, but it's been maybe since the past new year or since 5 years or 10 years since they really stopped and thought about like, what are my objectives here? Like if I could have anything I wanted, what would that actually look like? And so I love just kind of, I call it visioneering, like thinking with clients about, I truly believe we create our own reality. Like we create our own outcomes in life. And if you could have anything that you wanted in your life, what would that look like? And then oftentimes they'll say something, but they'll be like, well, I could never have that. Or I'd be too afraid to do that. And so I find that a really healthy exercise to do with clients is to just walk them through logically what that fear looks like. Because so many times we feel fear about something, like you may feel fear about picking up the phone, but then you never think beyond it to realize, well, what would actually happen? Like, what's the worst case scenario that would happen here? And so we stop ourselves because we feel this fear, but we don't logically think through what it actually means. And so we might do an exercise where we say, okay, so if you pick up this phone, what's the worst thing that could happen? And they'll say, well, the person will yell at me. You'll say, oh, okay, well, what's the worst thing that could happen then? And they'll be like, well, I'll feel bad and I'll be scared. It's like, okay, well, what's the worst thing that could happen then? And like, I don't know. I'll go run out of the office and have a fit, which I've never heard before.
So
but
three questions in, they're out, right? They don't
they're
have
out, yeah. Yeah. But it's just realizing that like, really, the worst that will happen is you're exactly the same as you were before. You didn't have that client before. You still don't have them now.
They didn't know you before.
Don't you find this fascinating, though? Because I'll tell you, as you're probably beginning to experience, Lee is really good at this. He's good at drawing people out and giving them the platform to share their story and talk about what they do and how they serve people. But I think one of the big reasons is because when you put those headphones on, you're invested in Elise. You're not in your own head about you. And I know like sometimes with our client host, I think they run into the same thing she's describing, don't you? They're worried about how they're going to sound or how they're going to me, there's some really strong parallels in our work in this.
Now, do you find that? Cause you have your own podcast, right?
Yeah, I do actually. Yeah. I had one previously that I stepped off of recently, Linking Into Sales. And then we just launched a new one for our company, the Younger, Wiser Leader podcast, which launched last week, which is super exciting.
So do you find that the skill as an interviewer is similar to that of a coach and that you are putting the spotlight on the other person and trying to help them?
Yes, absolutely. And I will tell you, like when I first started interviewing people, I would sweat bullets. I was so nervous. And part of it was because my co-host AJ is amazing at what she does. And it's like, I got to bring it on this. But again, I was thinking about myself and I wasn't thinking about the person on the other end. Right. So I think that's such an important just life skill in general that helps us navigate life really well. If we can learn to just have some empathy and think about what the other person is going through and what they're thinking, we realize nobody's really thinking about us at all. They're all thinking about themselves, all worried about what other people think of them. Right?
Now, when you're working with somebody and you're helping them kind of develop their personal brand and helping them kind of stand out in the crowd, because a lot of your clients or potential clients are kind of in semi-commodity industries where there's a lot of them out there and they're all trying to find their place in the world. How do you help them kind of do that, define their brand?
Yeah, I think it's so fun. And one of the things that I think is really helpful is just to tap into like, what at your core do you feel like you were called to do? And maybe sharing an example will help. I had a coaching client named Desiree, and she runs a company out in Washington called Hearts and Pearls. And they do headbands for women and girls, and they're just really cool, unique looking headbands. And she had this personal story that was really deep that was attached to it, but she'd always been afraid to share it. And so the inspiration for the company came because she was a very young mom. She got pregnant when she wasn't married, and she's a Christian. And for her, she kind of went through this whole like debate of, do I abort the baby or not? Like she got actually up until a day before the abortion was scheduled, and she was going to do it. And she was at her parents' house, and she was taking a walk just by her parents' house. And she ran into an older couple who was walking by her, and they said, they just felt compelled for some reason to share their story. And they told her their story of how they had aborted their child when they were very young. And it was their mission in life now to try to help moms who were going through that to just make the right decision for them, but choose not to if possible. And so it was just like this, wow, kind of, to me, it's like God moment, right? And, she decided to cancel the abortion appointment the next day. And she had her baby, Hartley. And just as kind of like a side, something to do while Hartley was growing up, she started making her these cool little headbands. And she'd be out and about with Hartley, and people would stop her and be like, where did you get that? That's amazing. And she started getting so much feedback and interest from people that she was like, huh, maybe I'm onto something here. And so she started this online business selling these headbands that she creates, and they're beautiful. And she had never really shared her story about rising above pain and challenges in order to triumph. And so one of the things we started talking about early on in her coaching was just like her personal story and how interwoven that was with her business and what she did. And what she ended up deciding to do was every quarter feature a charity that supports women who are in just tough situations, who want help rising above their challenges. And she's now built that into her brand and her business model, where every quarter she supports them. Yeah. And it's like, it's so in congruence with who she is and what she believes. But I think sometimes we just need somebody else to realize that our story is actually really interesting. I think all of us have an amazing story that we can weave into why we do what we do. But a lot of times we don't think it's compelling, or we don't think it's interesting, but it always is, because it's the human narrative, right? We can all relate to those types of things.
And I think it goes to the importance of coaching, where at times in your life, you do need that kind of third party to say, hey, you're good, you're doing the right thing, or hey, maybe you should do less of this and more of this. And you need that kind of independent voice in your head to get out of your own head.
Yes, I am such a big believer in coaching. And so I'm a big believer that if I'm going to ask people to pay for coaching, I better pay for it myself too. And so I actually, as we record this, I just got back from a day-long immersion with my personal coach on Saturday, mm-hmm. where in a day we busted through, and I'm going to keep her in business forever because I have so many issues for you to work out with me. But in the period of a day, she worked through some personal challenges I've been having for 17 years. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I feel free from stuff that has been a challenge for me for 17 years. And we did that in a day.
Wow.
And it was incredible.
You can get so much done so fast. And as I understand it, and I'm not a professional coach, but hung around some in my time, a really good coach doesn't have to have all the answers or even a lot of the answers, right? Because I have been a coaching client. And what I found was this lady did a marvelous job. Just getting to kind of talk stuff out with her crystallized things, solidified my thinking, clarified my thinking. Has that been your experience?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not like she gave me the answer and said, well, you need to go do this.
Mm-hmm. I think so much of it, you're exactly right. Like so much of it is just actually taking the time to talk. And there's a book about coaching that I read a while back, which is kind of funny. Like if you're feeling insecure as a coach, Do you think that if somebody went and they talked to a light post, like on the side of the road every day for 20 minutes, just talked about their problems, do you think they would make progress and figure some stuff out? It's like, yeah, they probably would because they're finally talking. So if you can be just a little better than that, or even if you're not better than that, your clients are still going to make progress. So I like to think that we are better than that and we ask the right questions. But I think it's two things. It's accountability. So when you're working with a coach, you're usually paying them, right? So all of a sudden, when we commit money to something, our level of commitment goes way up. And then it's just finally giving some attention to the things that you've probably been like pushing under the rug or not addressing that are actually holding you back.
All right. Now it's time for some coaching, maybe for the salespeople out there listening. How about some kind of nitty gritty tactics and tips that can help the salesperson make quota or blow out their quota this month?
Blow out their quota. You guys are asking for a lot. All right. Let's see what I can do.
But the foundation is mindset, right?
The foundation is mindset. There are mechanics.
There are things that there's language and all that I assume you probably have some influence on and can share some of this specialized knowledge and expertise. But it's all hollow without the foundation of the mindset. Is that accurate?
I would totally agree with that.
We're putting mindset aside.
Wants the tips and tricks.
Tips and tricks. I want some basic things. Like you mentioned LinkedIn earlier.
Yes.
Okay. How do you leverage, like, say, videos new in LinkedIn? How do you leverage video on LinkedIn?
So I love video on LinkedIn. And I will say, if you are a sales professional and you are not producing your own videos and posting them on LinkedIn, you are missing out on a huge opportunity right now, because LinkedIn native video uploaded directly to LinkedIn right now is getting the types of views that you used to get if you did it on Facebook a couple years back before they changed the algorithm and made it much more difficult to get exposure. So LinkedIn video, if you take a video and post it on LinkedIn, I do them every day and it gets...
Every day?
Every day.
So
yeah.
What's your discipline? Like, what are you talking about every day?
That's a good question. So one of the things that I think is really helpful for all sales professionals to do is to build their personal brand. Mm-hmm. And the first thing you need to do is make a brain dump list of what are all the different things that I could talk about related to what I sell. And so oftentimes it'll be FAQs. You'll like think about the things that you're hearing from your clients all the time, the challenges they're facing.
Right.
Now, I don't think most people need to do every day. Again, I kind of go all out with stuff I do. Yeah, so
you seem a little OCD. But
she got a radio show. She's video.
You should be a coach. So I think if you did one once a week, once every 2 weeks, that's still better than nothing. But I just keep a running list of what are all the different challenges.
So periodically you just do kind of brain dump. I'm going to write down hundreds of ideas.
Yeah.
And that way you're not in the morning going, okay, I got to do my thing at 8:00. And now I'm scrambling for my idea. You've already figured out what your next 10 ideas are.
Yes, exactly. So I've got a running list and then I batch filming them. So I'll film like 5 a week on a Friday or a Saturday morning and just knock them out short and sweet, like 2 minutes.
2 minutes or less.
Yep. Have a call to action at the end. Don't make it salesy though, but have a call to action.
What's an example of a call to action?
I would say like, hey guys, if you enjoyed this content, then please visit me online at my website, elisearcherswc.com. You can actually sign up for a free video course there on a couple of tips from top producers. Right. And I'd say better than that. But so it's a call to action. Like, what do you want them to do? Drive them to where you want them to go.
To an action.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Then the batching of it is for your time, because that's another trap for salespeople is they don't manage their time well.
Yeah.
They get distracted by shiny objects.
Yes, exactly. Right? And it could be, we have a term we call creative avoidance, where it's like, you know, in sales, at the end of the day, the thing that's going to make you money is talking to people, right? However, I want to give this tip to do videos with a disclaimer that you cannot just do videos. Otherwise, you'll have a lot of people following you.
And then sit back and wait for the phone to ring.
That does not work that way.
Strategy.
Yeah, that does not work that way. So you have to do these in conjunction with, you have to actually get on the phone and call people. And so like do all your marketing work outside of business hours, right? And then during business hours, pick up the phone and harvest the fruits of your labor. Because one thing I've found with those is I get a fair number of inbound requests every day from my ideal client who's a VP of sales or a sales manager. And it's just like, I saw your video. And then when you call them, they're like, I feel like I already know you, which in sales is exactly what we want, right?
Exactly.
It makes it so much easier. And it's just a much warmer, more fun connection, but you have to do both.
So now in sales, the best inbound would be a referral of some kind. Is there a way to cultivate referrals that you find that is effective?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Other than do good work, that's what we're trying to do.
That's a pretty good sales tool. Do a good work,
that's
right?
A good sales tool. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think there's a million ways to cultivate great referrals. And that's something we teach our clients. It's like 15 different ways to get referrals. I think just the first thing is
15 ways. Did you just say 15? Mm-hmm. Wow.
There's probably more than that, but yeah, there's a ton. And the first is do good work. I think another thing that's important is be a referral giver as well as receiver. Mm-hmm. So I have a goal every week for not only how many referrals I receive, but also how many I give. So if anybody wants a referral to someone, then call me after the show because I need to give out referrals this week and I love doing that. But then outside of that, again, I think LinkedIn is a great tool to use. So for your clients who are currently using you, if you have not made, we call it a LinkedIn hit list, like basically going through their connections and searching for people who have the title of the type of person that you want to reach out to and just running it by them. I actually did this yesterday with a client where she had booked a colleague of mine and I for a speaking event a couple months back, and we did the event. And then I had a call with her yesterday. It was like, hey, Michelle, I wanted to connect with you because I noticed on LinkedIn, you're connected to some people who I think I might be able to help and serve. I wanted to get your feedback. Here's this list. Is there anybody on here who I should definitely reach out to? Is there anybody who I'll regret for the rest of my life that I've reached out to? And then just getting that warm introduction. She was like, yeah, there's three people on here who I can introduce you to. Now, I think one other mistake that a lot of salespeople make with that is they have someone say, yeah, I'll introduce you. And then they're like, great, perfect. Thank you so much. And they leave it in the hands of the other person to do that. And it's not that the other person doesn't want to help you. It's just that they're busy and right. they're probably mm-hmm. going to let it slip through the cracks. And so one of the best things you can do is have a pre-typed introduction that somebody could copy and paste, make it easy, make it low key. But just like when she said that, I was like, perfect, Michelle, I appreciate it. I know that you're busy. Would it make your life easier if I just sent you something that you could copy and paste and you can change it if you like, you can throw it out and write a new one, or you can just use it. She's like, yes, that is the only reason why I don't make introductions for people is because I just feel like it takes too much time to figure out what to say.
Right.
So write, if you were in sales or a business owner right now and you have not done this, write your own short, sweet, pre-typed intro that people could use to introduce you and you'll get a lot more referrals.
That's the $1 million tip right there. I'm so glad that you asked.
See? I might know what I'm doing.
I think you do know what you're doing. And maybe I am a little too focused on me right now. But the other thing I was thinking earlier, this has been great for me, by the way. She was talking about the video stuff. We're clearly not video people, me and you, right. for a lot of reasons.
If they've seen our picture right. on the website, they know that.
Right. But we did hire Katie. So we right. got that. But I just wondered, couldn't we like just get on and riff? Because we do know some things about leveraging a platform like this to grow your own business. Couldn't we get on, knock out two or three audios every week, riff, and then couldn't we make a video with, I don't, maybe we put a picture of Katie up there. So couldn't you do like a, it'd be a video, but you could have just like pictures.
I don't know, ask Elise. She's the pro.
I mean, is that practical?
I think you guys should be on video. I don't think there's any reason why you should not be on video. I'm just saying. I mean, if you're...
That sounds like an endorsement.
It does sound like an endorsement. That's right. Elise Archer says...
Yes.
So be on video.
You know, well, but I mean, the idea of just riffing is my mm-hmm. word for it, but I mean, together, you know, we've made enough mistakes, so we know some stuff. We
exactly.
could talk. So, yeah, this has been very helpful to me. Cool.
Now, before we let you go, how can we help you? So talk about your ideal prospect. Who's out there listening that would be a good fit for you?
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. Like I said before, I do a lot of work in the financial world. So if there's a financial advisor or a financial wholesaler who wants some help for their team or their clients, I love connecting with them.
So they're a team as well, not just the individuals. Like you can come into an organization and really serve the whole organization, not just yeah. Bob.
Yeah. We'll help Bob too. Right. But,
yeah. Do you ever get that call? Do you ever get that directive? Come on in. I need you to fix Bob.
Yeah. I've had a few Bobs. No, I think one of the cool things that we do is we actually offer complimentary trainings for sales teams just as a way of kind of getting the word out and giving mm-hmm. them a feel for what it's like to work with us.
So they get a taste of what it's like to work with you guys.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. So they can get a taste of it. So yeah. if you're a sales manager who's listening to this in the Atlanta area and
how big of a team?
Three or more.
Three or more.
Wow. Three or more. Yeah, exactly. We'll come in and do a complimentary training. And the worst case is your whole team is motivated and leaves with some new ideas, right?
Right.
In addition, I'm starting a mastermind for women in sales this mm-hmm. year, which I'm really excited about and passionate about, particularly for women who want to use a portion of their profits for charitable good to make an impact. And
right.
so if there's a woman listening who that resonates with, then we'd love to connect with them as well.
And that is online, so that can be anywhere.
That can be anywhere,
right.
yeah.
But now you're working in the Atlanta area specifically. That's why you're here,
well,
or your clients are all over the place?
My clients,
well?
Actually, it's funny. Most of my clients are not in Atlanta, but now that we're in Atlanta, I'm looking to connect with more Atlanta businesses.
So, you are,
I can go anywhere.
Right.
But definitely, I mean, it's certainly it's easy if somebody is local, but I travel wherever I'm needed.
Right.
So Yeah, anywhere I need to go.
And then if somebody wanted to learn more about Southwestern Consulting or your own personal practice, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Absolutely. So they can go to my website. It's EliseArcherSWC.com, ElyseArcherSWC.com. And you can get that free training course there, The Secrets of Top Producers, or you can also connect with me there, but would love to connect with anybody who we can serve.
And then Southwestern Consulting, that's southwesternconsulting.com.
It is. Yep, absolutely. And so you can learn a lot more there as well.
What an absolute delight having you in the studio this morning. This has been marvelous. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, you guys are great, I would say, interview coaches because you draw out all the good questions. So thank you guys for having me.
Absolutely. Our pleasure. Hey, how about hanging out with us? We're going to visit with another guest.
Yes, I would love to.
I think you're going to like her.
Yeah, I do too.
This is right up your alley.
Well, and I think that she was getting a lot of value out of that last conversation. I thought I saw her head nodding. I think maybe she wrote down a few notes. All right.
I wouldn't be surprised if these two find a way to work with each other.
That's right. Because, you know, we like to give referrals. Exactly. That's what we do, right?
That's what we're all about.
We learned that from a sage mentor sometime back, a good 5-6 minutes ago, I think. All right. You ready for the headliner, Lee?
I am.
Okay. Please join me in welcoming to the show manager with Launch GSU, Erica Bracey. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. I'm thrilled to be here. Thank you so much for the invitation.
Hey, this is going to be fun and you're absolutely welcome. Before we do dive into your segment, though, what'd you learn in that last conversation? Anything you can take back with you?
Ditto. I was sitting here thinking I'm not sure exactly what I'm going to talk about because Elise hit all the points. And even though she was talking about sales, all the nuggets that she shared apply word for word, point for point in the world of entrepreneurship. Work through the fear. Ask for help when you need it. Take advice. Keep going. Don't take no for an answer. All of those nuggets are amazing pieces of information that I would love to share with my students.
But you didn't write down the biscuit and gravy quote? That one didn't really
resonate
with
you. I've got it.
Well, Erica, can you tell us a little bit about Launch GSU? That's part of Georgia State University now. That there's an initiative about entrepreneurship happening. Is that what's going on?
Absolutely. Or an incubator? Absolutely. So Launch GSU is the new student incubator, and we're a part of the entrepreneurship initiatives at Georgia State University. Mm-hmm. And we are just that. It's an incubator where the students can come and collaborate, create, and collide. I love the fact that students will...
I like that.
They collaborate with each other. They work on their projects and their businesses. They come and create, whether they're working on their pitch. We have a pitch competition taking place tomorrow evening where there's a cash prize. So they can come to create their pitch. Or I have a young lady who's working on a new skincare product. They have the opportunity to create in the incubator. But most importantly, the magic really happens when the students start networking with each other and they find that they all have complementary talents that collide and start filling some gaps with their competencies.
So now, is this a physical location where it's like kind of a co-working space where they're actually hanging out? So the collisions happen in real life rather than virtually?
It is exactly that. We have about 3,300 square feet of just open, flexible workspace. And it's awesome. The students love it. We have everything is on wheels. So at any point in time, I'm able to look up from my desk and I see someone flying across the room. There's bean bags. It's flexible workspace so that they can come together as they need to. But the beautiful thing is we're open 24/7. That's probably one of the biggest benefits on campus is we're one of the few spaces that's open 24/7. So these students are able to work in the evenings, nights, and weekends because traditionally our students are tied up during the day with school, right? So we allow them the opportunity to work evenings, weekends, holidays, whenever they want.
Is it only Georgia State University students or is it open to the public?
We are a university resource, so we are open for just students, undergraduate as well as graduate students of the university.
But not alumni. So if you went to Georgia State, can you get access to it or it's only for active students?
So honestly, we're a startup and we're still working through those details.
Right.
The issue is a space capacity,
right?
A space issue. We are only a year old. So we have not bumped up against capacity just yet, mm-hmm. but we want to make sure that we create an environment where we can serve our 50,000 students first and then provide access to the alumni, but we're not ignoring them. We are welcoming all assistance that the alumni can provide.
Oh, I bet. I bet a lot of alumni would want to. They would genuinely want to contribute. And what a rich resource that would be.
We actually had our first event last night. The Alumni Association brought all the alum entrepreneurs to launch to introduce them to the space and to tell them all about what the university is doing in the world of entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. And I actually right now have a stack of 30 cards on my desk that I have to respond to where alum were saying, tell me what we can do. How can I help? Some did mention wanting access to the space, but more often than not, they were, yes, I will come talk to them. I want to be a mentor. I want to do workshops and training programs for you. So the alumni are all in. That's the state way.
Now, for the entrepreneur, is there a specialty of the entrepreneur? Is it like a tech incubator? Is it a manufacturing? There's right now, I think some place there's a neuroscience incubator. Like, are you kind of a specialist or are you generalist?
So one of the things that makes Launch unique is I am a university asset. Launch GSU doesn't belong necessarily to one college. We serve all of the colleges and all of the university initiatives within each of the college. For example, the College of Business first started with the Russell Center for Entrepreneurship. That's probably the oldest entrepreneurship endeavor that we have at the university. Mm-hmm. That started several years ago. But in 2016, Robinson College of Business launched the Entrepreneurship and Innovation Institute, of which you would imagine many of the entrepreneurs go through that program.
Sure.
But in addition, we also have the Creative Media Industries Institute,
right,
where we have all the creatives, the filmmakers, students who are working on augmented virtual reality and things that were not around when I was in school, esports. But more importantly, with the creative media side, we don't want students to just be consumers. We want them to be creators. So again, Launch is a place where they can come to create those endeavors. But wait, there's more. So in addition to the College of Business and the Creative Media Industry Institute, we also have within the Andrew Young School of Policy Studies, our initiative for social entrepreneurs and those that just simply want to do good.
Right.
So all of those students, despite major, minor, or what college they belong to, are welcome to come and work on their business at Launch GSU.
Now, when you say work on their business, does their business have to be kind of a something real that they've sold things, or it can be just an idea that they're trying to get together and then they just want to meet kind of like-minded people, like you said, to collide with, and who knows, it might turn into something else?
Absolutely. And that's the whole point. Membership, we try to look for students that are a little further along in their thought process, but realize that it may take working at Launch and having access to the resources to really bring it along. But as long as they've done some homework and have done some research on their business, we welcome them with open arms.
And then, so what resources are there other than the space? Are there kind of mentors? Are there, more seasoned people that can give them help or direction?
Absolutely. As I mentioned last night, the event for the alumni, that was our opportunity to actually announce our new mentoring program that's going to be starting, a formal mentoring program that's starting in the fall, where all of the student entrepreneurs, whether they are majoring or minoring in entrepreneurship or just working on a small business, they'll have access to that. They'll be have the opportunity to work one-on-one with mentors. My role is as the manager of Launch is to really set the stage for them in that space. At the College of Business, we also have a minor in entrepreneurship and most recently announced our major in entrepreneurship. But the reality is those types of classes may not fit in everyone's schedule. So what I'm doing at Launch is creating workshops, non-credit workshops and programs, so that the students who aren't taking those entrepreneurship classes, they still can have access to the resources and the information that they need to increase their chances for success. I always say increase chances for success because, as we know, there are no guarantees.
Right. And there's no, usually entrepreneurship isn't a straight line where
Absolutely.
You go, oh, I just do these four things and then I'm a success. You know, you might have to meander about it.
And it's funny you mentioned that. I like to see myself as someone who my role is to just kind of be the guide for them, to help them stay relatively on the right path and just not allow them to just go off into these various rabbit holes. So,
or just quit. You
or
don't want
or
them
just
to quit.
Quit. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm glad you brought that up. Launch is a place that is safe, where we don't want them to quit, but I want them to feel safe that if they decide to change their mind, that's okay.
Iterating and tweaking is part of the process.
Absolutely.
Right. You have to get some no's like Elise said, in order to know the right path.
Absolutely.
Well, Erica, I know a guy who's already pretty heavily invested in GSU, has sent them several checks, and he's got a kid there still. And he's probably going to be a pretty good mentor if you want to take him on. He knows a thing or two about marketing and how to leverage media. So I'll try to get you connected with him if you're interested.
That sounds fantastic. Would that person happen to be sitting right next to me? Yes. That is awesome. I appreciate that. Look forward to getting on your calendar.
And she does need to meet your kid. She really does.
Yeah, well, he has a podcast. I think that qualifies as a startup.
Absolutely. I have, I think, two student members that are currently working on podcasts. And we actually have a space where if he needs a space to do that,
I'll tell
absolutely.
Him, he does need a space.
He does need a space.
He's been going to people's location to do his podcast. They can come to him.
I would love the opportunity.
And if there's anything we can do to help anybody that's even bumping up against this kind of platform in any way, we're happy to try to share with them what we think we know about this. And I suspect Elise is as well. I mean, we might be able to save him a little bit of heartache and scar tissue.
Absolutely. One of the things that we found is students, just like many entrepreneurs, they just don't know where to go. They don't know where to go for information. So the beauty of it is my role at Launch is just to make sure that they have access to resources that they can figure out where
you're vetting absolutely. Them. Right. That's the thing. Absolutely. There's a lot of, at least we run into a lot of entrepreneurs out there that are just desperate for information. And there's a lot of misinformation out there. And then they can either get scammed, get money taken from them, and then they give up hope. And then all of a sudden they're former entrepreneurs or wish they were.
But like you mentioned, it's not my job to give them the answer because there are no good or bad ideas. That's not my job to judge. My job is just to provide some guidelines and to help navigate them through to avoid roadblocks, to avoid stumbling. So that they can come to their own conclusions, which is pretty much what I think both of you were saying. You just try to guide them to their own.
Right, because everybody's path is unique. Mm-hmm. Now, let's put the spotlight on some of the people you got in there. Who do you got and what are they doing that's interesting? Any kind of budding stars you got?
Absolutely, absolutely. I have several students that have already made my Can-Do Wall of Fame. One student.
I love it.
One student is, I have one student who actually he's in the entertainment industry and he created an app that allows entertainers to collaborate and create music, but be in different places.
Wow.
So the singer could be singing in Atlanta while the drummer could be in Florida and doing his drumming and bring it all together via his app. I have my student assistant actually is part of the team that is a creative media business where they do audio visual work. They do photography and videography, and they're doing some great things. They're actually going to be recording someone this evening. And so in addition to the traditional services that are provided, we do have some high-tech companies. I have one company that just launched in the fall. He has secured his first contract. He's in the high-tech world of cryptocurrency, which many people are hearing more about as it becomes more frequent in the news. He's developed a wallet for people to manage their cryptocurrency, which involves all kind of technology that was not available when I was doing my MBA. but we're real excited to watch his progress and watch his success. But we have all types of student entrepreneurs that are working on both products as well as businesses, products and services, excuse me.
Right. And then you mentioned one skincare person?
Yes. There's a young lady she is an organic and natural skincare manufacturer. So she just created her first facial scrub, which I had the pleasure to sample and absolutely loved. So looking forward to seeing
And your skin looks fantastic.
Well, thank
I know
you.
Our listeners can't see that. So yeah, for your crypto guy, it's a he, is that
yes.
right?
One guy? Yes.
And he may or may not decide to niche in this direction, but I can tell you a niche that I believe would be very fruitful. And it comes out of a conversation you and I were having yesterday. It's the middle-aged entrepreneur who has set aside some money, has money, and we're scared, Elise, because we don't understand this stuff and the wallet thing. We're not, but I think you can make a very comfortable living, a young person that really understands that world, consulting to people like me that, you know, we've got our brokers, we got all that, but we'd like to enter into that world too, but we're, you know, rather cautious. I think there's probably a ton of opportunity right there in that one niche.
You are absolutely right. I'm look forward to sharing that with him and have them do some do some customer discovery on that.
And that is, do you have a philosophy from an entrepreneurship standpoint that you are working through? Like there's a lean startup methodology.
Absolutely.
And some incubators have their own kind of proprietary one. Do you have, is there a GSU?
There's the Barker methodology.
The Bracey, right?
Bracey methodology.
we don't have anything proprietary right now, but what we are finding is that the millennials do like the lean startup method. Mm-hmm. Prior to coming over to the provost office, launches an initiative of the provost. Prior to coming over to here, I spent 11 years working as a business consultant with the SBDC, which worked with traditional businesses. And it was the traditional business plan and marketing plan. These
like
millennials
5-year, 10-year plan.
Right. And these millennials, they don't want any part of it.
There's a 5-week plan, maybe.
Right. 5 minutes. So they do enjoy the lean startup methodology. Okay. So we spend a lot of time talking them through business model canvas and design thinking. They love that. They love the design thinking.
And customer, there's no, and this is where Elise will come in, is that customer discovery.
Absolutely.
You make those 100 calls and find out if there is a place for
absolutely,
you.
Absolutely.
There's no shortcut for that.
One of the most successful programs that we have right now is a more structured program. While many of the workshops that I do are just one-off 60, 90-minute programs, we have a more organized program called Startup Semester, Startup Exchange, where that's a 10-week program that goes along the course of a semester and walks them through the customer discovery process. Right. It's not credit-based, but again, not everyone is looking to take those credits. So they're allowed to just come and go as they please over the course of 10 weeks. And that's the pitch competition that I mentioned tomorrow that I saw a student working on last night at 1 a.m.
Man, you got so much going on. Is it just because of the world that I find myself in, you know, having the radio shows and all that and all the business people coming through? Or do you believe that genuine interest in entrepreneurship is on the rise among this younger group of people? Is it on the rise?
Absolutely, 100%.
I hope you're right. That's fantastic.
Which is why I believe the university recognized the importance of putting more resources into entrepreneurship. I think there's two things happening. Number one, these millennials, they don't like being told what to do. I actually have one at Georgia State. They like to carve out their own path. They want to do their own thing. They're not interested in working 30 years for one company. And that's great because that's not out there anymore. Many of our students are not going to be able to find that corporate America job. They're getting smaller and smaller. People are staying longer and longer. So those opportunities for corporate America aren't as available as they used to be several generations ago. But these students, as I mentioned, they want to do their own thing. So we practice what we preach. We're meeting the students where they are. If they want to learn about entrepreneurship and need resources to help them achieve their goals, that's what the university is doing.
I have a hypothesis I'd like to run by you as well.
Absolutely.
So I can envision, and I've convinced myself of this, maybe because of what I've seen in watching my wife's career. My wife works for a big company, IBM. And she's one of the most entrepreneurial people I've ever come across. I think they even have a word for that, like intrapreneur. She treats her work there like it's Holly Incorporated inside this, you know, one customer outfit. And I think that's why she's done so well there. My hypothesis is that some of these young people can participate in these programs, learn these kinds of things, adopt these mindsets. And even if for whatever reason, they do decide to go work at Home Depot or Coca-Cola or IBM or some firm, that they are going to be in a position to be more successful and they're going to serve those companies much more effectively if they have that entrepreneurial mindset, that level
absolutely.
Of personal account. Would you buy into that?
Absolutely, 100%. It's all about, and you hit the nail on the head, it's all about the entrepreneur mindset. It's all about looking for a problem to solve, identifying a need that needs to be corrected or needs to be fixed. And all these corporations are looking for students and people that can solve problems quicker, faster, better, less expensive. And if they can just start looking at the world from that perspective now, I think that you're absolutely right. That would increase their chances for success, whether it's at a corporation or whether it's their own business. Just look for a problem, try to solve problems creatively, less expensive, quicker, faster.
Now, I think that Georgia State is really innovative in that they're not just tying the entrepreneurship program to one kind of narrow channel within the Georgia State world. I mean, you have, like you mentioned, you have social entrepreneurship, you have the technology entrepreneurship, you have the media entrepreneurship. It's kind of permeating multiple areas of Georgia State. And then it's expanding what the definition of entrepreneurship is really in my mind. You're not looking at it as only high tech or startup, you know, the classic, you know, Silicon Valley startup. It's much more than that.
Absolutely. Our students, while we do have a phenomenal computer science department and CIS department, our students aren't just high tech.
Right.
We have students in the College of Business that are working on all different types of businesses.
Right. Like you mentioned, cryptocurrency mm-hmm. to skincare. Mm-hmm. You know, there's going to be social entrepreneurship, you know, to, you know, they could be discovering something in your neuroscience world, you know. So your campus is so diverse. There has to be a place for this entrepreneurship in all of the places.
Absolutely. And that's the entire purpose of launch. I like to say that we kind of sit in the middle of the entire entrepreneurship eco-culture at Georgia State.
Right. And then you mentioned that it's right now it's only for current active Georgia State University undergrads and advanced degree people.
Correct.
And there is space, though. So if they are listening, there is space to go in there.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Even with just an idea, they can come and have a conversation with
you. Even with just an idea, but they have to have shown some homework. I need some skin in the game. Right. I need to know that you are committed. You have done a little bit of research and are committed to this idea.
And then how much is it to be part of this?
That is an amazing question. It is included as part of their student wow. experience.
So
no additional excuses. None at all. None at all.
And then where is the actual facility?
Launch is located in the center of campus. We recently purchased a building, one of the SunTrust Annex buildings downtown, 58 Edgewood Avenue. Mm-hmm. We sit right behind the beautiful 25 Park Place, which houses Creative Media Industries Institute.
Okay, so you're adjacent to that or near that?
We're right behind that building.
And how can we help you? Would you be open to having some of your students that are going through it come on and we can spotlight
Absolutely.
Them?
Absolutely. That would be amazing. Idea. I would love to create a relationship going forward where as these students have successes and get more clients and stories that...
Right. Well, that's our mission is to tell the stories of these small to mid-sized
Absolutely.
Businesses that tend not to get the attention until either they're so big that they don't need the attention or something bad's happened and they mm-hmm. don't want the attention. Mm-hmm. So now, if a student wanted to learn more, how do they get a hold of you?
If students want to learn more about Launch GSU, it's real easy. They can visit our website at launch.gsu.edu. Visit the website. They could stop by 58 Edgewood on the first floor, or they could shoot me an email, ebracey@gsu.edu.
And then if any of the students going through that need some help in sales, do you want to connect with
Absolutely.
Elise over there?
Well,
Elise, would you be up for that to mentor some young entrepreneurs?
I would always be up for that. Yes, I would love it.
And I think it'd be awesome. Possibly Elise could come and do a 60 or 90 minute workshop where she could reach 50 students in 60 minutes.
Let's make it happen. I love it.
All right. Well, thank you for being part of the show and sharing that story. And thank you, Elise, for being part of the show and sharing all those tips.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton, our producer, Katie Galley. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio.